Shalom, everyone. Israel and Hezbollah have agreed to a ceasefire. It's already taken effect. Hamas is saying maybe it's time for a ceasefire negotiation themselves. The UK and France disagree with the arrest warrant that's issued for Netanyahu from the ICC. And Israel is now building a new border fence with Jordan. Messianic World Update, it begins now. Shalom, everyone. I'm Monty Judah with Lion and Lamb Ministries. Welcome to another edition of Messianic World Update. Today's date is Wednesday, November 27th, the year 2024. I'm coming to you with a special edition before the Thanksgiving holiday, and we have some excellent news. Here's the news for the week. The U.S. has brokered a ceasefire between Israel and Hezbollah. The Israeli cabinet met this Wednesday, and they agreed to the ceasefire. All hostilities essentially have ceased yesterday at 4 a.m. in the morning, their local time. Israel has agreed to withdraw all of its troops from Lebanon in the next 60 days. Hezbollah has agreed to stay north of the Litani River, away from the border with Israel. The Lebanese army will be moving into southern Lebanon and blocking the interface between Hezbollah and Israel at the border. Lebanese civilians are already rushing back into their homes in southern Lebanon. I think part of it is to make sure nobody loots their home and steals their stuff. Israeli citizens are going to be able to return to their homes on the northern border of Israel here very shortly. And Israel, in their agreement, has retained the right to respond to any Hezbollah violations. And apparently the U.S. is going to be handling a role in dealing with those violations should they take place, along with the panel. Interestingly enough, this is an international panel that will be watching all of it to make sure everything's above board. And Israel agreed that they would let them be the clearinghouse for all of that activity. Israel can still hit Hezbollah in Syria and stop the Iranian supply if they're trying to come into Lebanon with supplies. And so here we have essentially what we've been looking for all along, the hostilities to stop shooting rockets and stop the air attacks from Israel into Lebanon. So we have to step back and ask ourselves, why in the world did Hezbollah finally agree to this? Well, there's a couple of factors if you've been watching the news over the last couple of weeks. One, Iran sent the message to Hezbollah it's okay if they want to seek a ceasefire, that Hezbollah was off the hook of supporting the Iranian attack against Israel, and that Hezbollah no longer had to support Hamas down in Gaza. And by the way, that was a very serious renig on the part of Hezbollah toward the Gaza terrorists with Hamas, because they had pledged to stick with Hamas until Hamas was done. Hezbollah also has been completely decimated by the Israeli Air Force and military. Their leadership have been killed. Their financial efforts that they had in Lebanon have been totally destroyed. Blew up their bank and all their gold and all their money. Their military has been decimated. The military leaders have been decimated. They've destroyed much of their weaponry, stolen, taken out many of the areas where they were set up their infrastructure at. And essentially at this point, there's some serious questions about whether or not Hezbollah is really done in, that they may go ahead and just continue to crumble and disintegrate, no longer being a viable organization or a proxy to support Iran. Just before the ceasefire took place, it's kind of like Hezbollah had their last gasp. They fired some 250 rockets and missiles into Israel. It was a massive barrage. And however, Israel responded with a massive Israeli airstrike, 20 different hits in a matter of 2 minutes, inside the city of Beirut, and literally shook up the entire city for the whole night. Israel stated they did that to cause Hezbollah so they can't regroup. I would say that definitely sent the message. The word in Israel, now that the ceasefire is in place, it's kind of interesting. The northern mayors of the northern cities in Israel are a little bit apprehensive about this ceasefire. They're concerned about Hezbollah potentially violating it. If the people go back into their homes in northern Israel, they could be subject to immediate attack. And so they're suspicious about whether or not Hezbollah will keep this agreement. The Israel and the U.S. have tried to set up all kinds of standards to make sure that if there is any violation, it is shut down immediately and retaliation takes place immediately. Israel is also hoping that as a result of this agreement with Hezbollah, that there'll be a break between Hezbollah and Hamas. Hezbollah has always been the greatest supporter of Hamas. And as I said to you before, they had made a pledge that they would not stop attacking Israel until the Hamas war was done. Well, they've decided to make a ceasefire, and so they're abandoning their pledge they made to Hamas. As a result, the Hamas representative was somewhat conciliatory about this, said, well, we understand Hezbollah suffered greatly, and we understand their decision. And then he turned around and said, probably it's time for Hamas now to make a serious deal with Israel with regard to Gaza. This is the first time, literally in weeks, that we've heard anybody from Hamas speak to the fact that they're willing to cooperate in a ceasefire negotiation. You can be assured that Israel is now going to turn the full force on that. The U.S. is going to turn their full force on that as well. The IDF is going to be turning their full attention back to Gaza to make sure that the terrorists are taken care of. And you, of course, know that President Joe Biden wants to see the release of the hostages before January 20th. These are major goals for him to conclude his presidency by being able to get a ceasefire in the Middle East, particularly with Hamas and Gaza. And he was happy to get the one for Hezbollah and Lebanon. The conflicts in the Middle East are still ongoing. Iran's role is still sponsoring the Houthi rebels and the proxy groups that are in Syria and Iraq. All of that's still happening. That has not changed. And Benjamin Netanyahu, in discussing the ceasefire with Hezbollah, made mention of those and said that Israel is watching and is ready for all of that activity and continues to pursue that activity as well. Shifting gears, as you know, last week, the ICC, the International Criminal Court, the prosecutor issued arrest warrants for Netanyahu and Gallant. Many of the nations don't support the ICC, not the least of which is Israel itself. And so Israel basically said, we don't care what you've issued a warrant for. But other nations of the world are wrestling with it as to how they're going to handle that, those that participate with the ICC. Khomeini there in Iran, he loved the news of the arrest warrant. He called for the death penalty for Netanyahu once he's arrested. The UK said that they would permit the arrest of Netanyahu if he came to the UK. France, on the other hand, said they would not, they would grant immunity from arrest. And so the UK and France, which are supposed to be on this panel to be with the US for handling violations of Hezbollah, apparently neither one of them are going to get to be on the panel and have any further say about what's going on in the Middle East. The US is obviously rejecting all of the actions of the ICC. And I would expect that once the Trump administration comes in, that the Senate is probably going to take its own action against the ICC, because I think the bonds of the alliance between Israel and the United States are going to be strengthened even more so with the Trump administration, given the people that he's bringing into administration, from the Secretary of Defense, the National Security Advisor, and the new ambassador to Israel as well. Israel and Jordan are now building a new fence line along the border going down the Jordan River. They've always had some minor elements, but for the most part, the border has been open. Apparently, Iran, through Jordan, has been using that open border to bring weapons and ammunition into the terrorists that are in the Judean and Samarian areas, specifically the West Bank towns that are controlled by the Palestinians. And all throughout this war, the IDF has been battling those terrorists at various times, having to go in and clean out the terrorists that are plotting to do harm to Israeli citizens in the land of Israel, in Israeli cities. And so by building that fence, they can cut off the supply lines of feeding those terrorists so that Iran and others cannot supply them with the things they need. The two cities in Samaria that have the terrorists fighting, the IDF is still pursuing them, still maintaining intel, and there have been moments when the IDF has brought drones in to actually hit and strike those terrorists. And every time we hear one of these news stories, well, we hear about another dozen or so terrorists in those two cities that have been killed. They are bringing about, those terrorists are causing random terror attacks in the Israeli cities. Some of the attacks include knifings that are going on in various public places. But the most harmful one is where a Palestinian citizen in their truck or their car decides to ram Israeli citizens, run over soldiers at a bus stop, and attack there. And despite the efforts of putting up blockades around the bus stop so that the ramming attacks are successful, on a weekly basis, we hear about another Palestinian who's attempted to do a suicide attack and has been shot and killed, having injured some Israeli citizens. All of that's been going on, and they're trying to stop that now. They're hoping that the fence with Jordan will help curb some of that. So let's step back for a moment now that we have a ceasefire and things are trending toward a ceasefire in Hamas, in Gaza. Let's see what the lessons learned that we've seen so far, particularly how Israel has handled all of this. In all the previous Arab-Israeli wars that Israel has fought with Egypt, with Syria, with others, much of this has led to basic, out of World War II, tank warfare, tank and troops. And Israel was forced to come up with new defensive improvements for their tanks because the enemy was using RPGs against tanks and other explosives, close-in attacks on tanks, even drone attacks on the top of tanks. So Israel has, in the past, made those improvements with special armor, special defensive techniques. They've developed smart weapons for their aircraft and defense against RPGs that are being fired by the terrorists. RPGs is one of the favorite weapons the Russians supply to all of their friends. This time, Israel faced massive missile and rocket attacks, and it was a whole new form of warfare coming from Gaza, coming from Lebanon, and coming from Iran. Israel responded with their air defenses. It turns out they built a multi-layered air defense, Iron Dome at the short range, and the Arrow missile system, David Sling missile system, along with U.S. help that came from the U.S. Navy with their anti-missile defenses. They all joined together, and they prevailed against these massive missile attacks coming into Israel. Was there damage done? Yes. Did it have the effect that the enemy was hoping for? The answer is no, it did not cause the collapse of the nation, which was what was the great fear from that. But at the same time, drone warfare came into full force. The small drones that were explosive, the small drones that came in and could drop a charge onto a tank, drones that could come in and attack individuals, small explosives, and so forth. And because many of them were maneuverable, in other words, they would come up, they could be seen by the radar, they could be seen by the defensive systems to shoot down, but then they would duck down and maneuver around, and so they had to be acquired again before they could be shot down. And they were able to get to their targets before they could be shot down. As a result, they've become deadly. And Israel has suffered many casualties. In fact, more casualties from drones coming in and attacking at that level than even from all of the other methodologies. So Israel put the word out that to their industry that said, we've got to come up with a better defense against these drones and drones warfare. Well, here we are now with the Hezbollah ceasefire, and on the day the ceasefire is announced, Israel and the IDF announced that they have now gone operational with their Iron Beam system. Iron Beam is a close-in laser that shoots down drones rapidly and can track them very quickly, acquire them, and kill them very quickly. It's not a system that can shoot down big missiles, but drones it's ideal for. Plus, Israel has gone back to developing their own close-in weapon system. These are 20-millimeter and 30-millimeter machine guns that are mounted on a mobile platform with their own radar to track. And so they've built these point defense systems now to deal with the drones that are coming in. So thank goodness Israel is not having to deal with a lot of a drone attacks, but they have definitely upgraded their defensive capability for that one area that was a shortfall for their defensive system. Again, Israel is continuing to improve as they learn their lessons from the warfare. And that's what we see now that has happened to Israel as a result of the Gaza war and the Hezbollah war and the attacks coming from Iran in this last year. Israel's ability to defend itself and its military has stepped up to a whole new excellent level of defending Israel. Not only that, but we've also learned that Israel's strike ability has improved and is now exceptional, being able to go over to Iran anytime they choose, and they destroyed Russia's top air defense systems that the Iranians had gotten. And at this moment, Iran is defenseless against an air attack should Israel decide to go over there and hit them. This is the reason why Iran has taken pause and is not shooting back at Israel anymore at the moment. They built also new standoff air-launched ballistic missiles. The aircraft fly over, do not have to come into enemy range. They launch this missile. It has a motor that gets it up high in the air and then another motor that puts it down on the target from the top. And it has turned out to be a very superior weapon in taking out key sites. And in fact, the latest results from the attack that Israel did put on Iran is it took out Iran's ability not only to defend themselves with its air defense attacks, but it also took out their ability to keep their missile manufacturing going. And it also hit a secret nuke base they had not revealed, the one that was building the triggers for their nuclear devices, and completely destroyed that base and that function that was going on. Essentially, they brought Iran to the standstill on their nuke program for the moment. The Israel intelligence has shown itself to be superior on the battlefield. They know literally the names of the enemy, and they know them individually and can track them individually. And they carried out specific attacks on those leaders. And that was demonstrated not only in Gaza, taking out the leaders of Hamas, but also in Hezbollah, taking out all of the Hezbollah leadership there in Beirut and around Lebanon in that area. And if you recall, they even took out a Hamas leader in Tehran at the same time. That performance tells us that if Israel so decides to take out leadership in Iran, that they have the ability to do it. The only reason I think that Khomeini is still alive today as the supreme leader of Iran is because Israel decided not to kill him. And so I think Iran knows that. And it speaks to the tremendous way that Israel has fought this war and what we have seen happen in this last year. Interestingly enough, there is a passage of scripture that describes exactly what we've seen over the last year. It's in Zechariah chapter 12. It's several verses. It begins at verse 2. I'd like to read those verses to you. Listen to these, how the prophet described in the last days how Israel would deal with their enemies. It begins at verse 2 and says, "Behold, I'm going to make Jerusalem a cup that causes staggering to all the peoples around. And when the siege is against Jerusalem, it will also be against Judah. It will come about on that day that I will make Jerusalem a heavy stone for all the peoples. All who lift it will injure themselves severely, and all the nations of the earth will be gathered against it. On that day, declares the Lord, I will strike every horse with confusion and its rider with insanity. But I will watch over the house of Judah while I strike every horse of the peoples with blindness. Then the clans of Judah will say in their hearts, the inhabitants of Jerusalem are a strong support for us through the Lord of armies, their God. On that day, I will make the clans of Judah like a fire pot among pieces of wood and a flaming torch among sheaves, so that they will consume on the right and on the left all the surrounding peoples, and while the inhabitants of Jerusalem again live on their own sites in Jerusalem. The Lord also will save the tents of Judah first, so that the glory of the house of David and the glory of the inhabitants of Jerusalem will not be greater than Judah. On that day, the Lord will protect the inhabitants of Jerusalem, and the one who is feeble among them on that day will be like David, and the house of David will be like God, like the angel of the Lord before them. And on that day, I will seek to destroy all the nations that come against Jerusalem. If I could take you back to verse 6 again, let me review with you what he said. On that day, I will make the clans of Judah like a fire pot among pieces of wood and a flaming torch among sheaves, so they will consume on the right and on the left all the surrounding peoples, while the inhabitants of Jerusalem again live in their own sites in Jerusalem. As you know, Jerusalem is the focal point of the conflict with Israel in the Middle East. The Palestinians want it. The Jews would like to have some of it. They want to make it the capital. The Palestinians don't want the Jews to have Jerusalem. That's the centerpiece. All the nations of the world have something to say about whether or not the Jews get to have Jerusalem. The Temple Mount in particular is a stress point for the conflict in the Middle East. Who is going to control Jerusalem and who's going to control the Temple Mount? So what we've seen is that while Israel is surrounded by its enemies, it turns out that all of the enemies around Israel are like dry sheaves. They're like pieces of wood. They're like tinder. They're like things that are ready to be burned. And Israel is like a fire pot. It's like a fire that lights them all up in every direction. Hamas has been burned to cinders. Hezbollah has been burned to cinders. And all the other nations can see they're going to be burned as well. Iran has been burned. The Houthi rebels have been burned. It's just like what the prophet said. Israel is stronger now today after this attack than they were before. And now we know that God is involved in this war, and the people that live in Jerusalem and the Jewish people in the land of Israel, their enemies are not going to prevail over them. That's what we've learned from this last year of the warfare that's taking place in the Middle East. We need to pray for a successful ceasefire, that Hezbollah will not violate the ceasefire. We can be assured Israel is not going to. Obviously, the attention now moves to the release of the hostages down in Gaza. Hopefully, we can get a ceasefire going with Hamas and we can get that over with. We also need to pray for our transitioning government at the moment. The world is changing on us dramatically. President-elect Trump will be in office in January 20th, and we are now in that period of time watching the impact of all of this transitioning government take place around the world. Let me wish you a happy Thanksgiving that will be tomorrow, and we actually have something to be thankful for. It appears that there's hope again, and maybe we can get some of this trauma that's been going on in the world to calm down for a while before the Lord decides to return at the end of the ages. Thank you again for viewing this program. Thank you for being a part of this ministry. We appreciate your viewership, your participation in our website, and in subscribing to LionelLamb.tv. Happy Thanksgiving. Shabbat Shalom to you for this weekend.